Can we just give it up for our moms and spiritual moms and mom figures in the room? Yeah, thank you for being here as we celebrate Mother's Day today, and all of you moms and spiritual moms that exist in lives, we're just so grateful for you. So kids, I have some good news. It is Mother's Day, and so hopefully you've already got to shower your mom with love today, but I also have some bad news. This Wednesday is our last kids crew of the school year. Everybody say, aww. So in light of that, we want to highlight some moms, particularly who have been so instrumental in that this week. And so there's like so many dads and dad figures that help out with Wednesday night kids crew and our Wednesday night meal, doing dishes and helping run games. But today's about Mother's Day, so we're gonna thank a couple of moms today. So I'm going to need some help, okay? Can I get some helpers this morning? So our first mom that we're going to thank this morning, Miss Chris, she helped out. She was helping Chris Smith. She's not even here today, but she was helping out with the Wednesday meal, and then she jumped over and was hanging out with the Tide Pool and Kids Crew Junior. And last week, there was 12 little ones in the Tide Pool for Kids Crew Junior. So she needs some love this morning, okay? So can we thank Chris? That was just such an amazing thing. Next, so Miss Jen, she was not serving on our meals team. Does anybody love the Wednesday night meals? Who loves pizza night? Yeah. So Miss Jen, she has been so, so important and so instrumental in helping us out with the meals. So I need a helper. Who wants to run this to Jen? Okay, you know what? Charlotte, you could do that. So Miss Jen, you can throw up your hand. Can we thank Miss Jen? Yeah. Okay. Next, we are going to thank Miss Emily. Miss Emily was helping with so much this year in Kids Crew. I don't see Miss Emily this morning, but you know what? Let's see. Ellie, would you hold on to this for Miss Emily? Can we thank Miss Emily for helping in Kids Crew? Fia, this one might be for you. Your mom has been pretty important on Wednesday night kids crew, especially helping with our Easter songs that we did this year. So can we thank Miss Brittany? You'll get to give that to Miss Brittany, okay? then this year, so obviously I got here like a year ago, and it's been a year of high highs and low lows, but particularly in transition and particularly with Wednesday night kids crew, Miss Allison has stepped up and led that so, so faithfully this year. So, who's Miss Allison's mom? Okay. Will you make sure that your mother gets that? Would you? Can we thank Miss Allison for her help? It's so, so important. Then, through all of this year of transition, it has been so much fun. Church, just on behalf of solely me and also my family, I just want you to know how incredibly thankful we are for Pastor Aaron in this season. Pastor Aaron, you yourself are the spiritual mom of literally countless hundreds of kids that have grown up in this church, in this community. Like, I can't go anywhere with Pastor Aaron in Claremont because she knows somebody and we don't get anything done because she's hanging out with kids, talking to kids. So, Aaron, just thank you for being the best teammate this last year. So, so incredibly thankful for you. Will you pass that off to Pastor Aaron? Then, finally, again, in this year of transition and moving from Seattle, resettling in this home that we call Claremont now, I am so incredibly grateful for the best teammate that I have in life, Lauren, especially on Mother's Day. Church, it is hard to be a mom, but it's also hard to be a pastor's wife and a mom at the same time, and it's also hard to be a pastor's spouse when you have two little ones. And so, church, would you help me by thanking Lauren this year and just being such an incredible mother? Will you hand that to Miss Lauren? So it would be absolute chaos if I had my own two kids up here this morning. And so they just had a little message for you, Lauren, this morning. So we want to just show that to you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mama. We love you.
We love you.
In case you were wondering, that was at 6:05 this morning, okay? If you couldn't tell, it was at 6:05 this morning. Church, just thank you. Thank you for the gift it's been to be able to be with you this last year. Thank you, each person, so many that we didn't even get to recognize this morning, that have washed dishes on Wednesday night, who have prepped tables, who have been on the meal rotation team, who have helped with games on Wednesday night, kids crew. We could not be the church that has continued to impact lives in the Claremont community without you, without being together. And so just so incredibly grateful. So kids, before we leave, usually we pray over you, but today we're going to pray over our moms this morning, and then we're going to send you out, okay? So would you join me? We're going to just pray for our moms and spiritual moms this morning as we go. God, thank you for the gift it is to be a church that is about all generations, Lord, and just thank you for this community of moms and mother figures and spiritual moms and everyone who plays that role. Lord, we're just so grateful for the leadership and mentorship and example that our mothers are. Lord, may we just celebrate them well today. May they be feel loved and appreciated and affirmed this day and every single day. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. All right, kids, you can head on out to Kids Life this morning. And make sure you give your mom an extra big squeeze this morning. You know what? I'll take that one because Emily's not here. You got to go give that to your mom afterwards. Or you know what? You can hand it to Miss Lauren so you don't lose it during Kids Life, and then Miss Lauren will do it. That's probably better. There we go. Church, thank you for being part of really this last several weeks as we've been discerning vision that's actually been more like the last 9 to 12 months as we've kind of been in this season of transition, of discerning vision and who we are and who we are becoming as a church. And so there's kind of this game that the church plays or that pastors play, like when Mother's Day or Father's Day comes, it's like, well, do you pause what we're doing and, you know, preach to the moms and affirm moms, or do you pause what we're doing and preach to the dads and affirm the dads? So I believe that it's so important to be able to highlight our moms, and so maybe I'll feel differently when I'm with you for in like 20 years from now, but I just think it's so important to preach and look at scripture and look at a text that affirms moms. But the cool thing is, we're talking about the third component in our vision of who we are as a church, and I think it goes really, really well with Mother's Day and this simple phrase of pursuing purpose. And so that's where we'll be this morning. If you haven't been with us over the last several weeks, we have been rolling out this vision of who we are and who we are becoming as a church, and it's so simple. So I haven't tested anybody yet on this, but we're going to go there for a little bit this morning. So there's going to be a cheat sheet. T, will you put that slide up? So as a church, we exist really to do four things. We exist to experience community, to follow Jesus, to pursue purpose, and impact lives. That's why we exist. That is the framework of what we'll be pursuing in this next season. And to make it really simple, I want you to turn to your neighbor next to you, whoever it is, maybe it's a stranger, maybe it's your mom, and you just say the words, experience community. Ready, go. Then you turn to that other neighbor on the other side, might be an empty chair or someone that's a total stranger, and you just say, hey, follow Jesus. And then turn to that other person that you started with on that one side at the first, and you just say, pursue purpose. And again, to your other way, for the last time, impact lives. Church, this is who we are. This is who we are becoming. And this is the simple framework that will continue to guide us as we move along as a church and growing and pursuing what God has for us in this season. And so, in light of that, in light of it being Mother's Day, and in light of it being a week where we're considering this simple phrase, pursue purpose, I invite you to stand for this morning's scripture reading as we'll be reading out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. A very familiar story maybe for some, but I invite you to hear it with new ears this morning. Luke 10, beginning at verse 38. It says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. This is the word of the Lord. Would you join me in prayer? God, thank you for the privilege it is to be in a place together this morning, to open your word, to consider a text that has spoke to your people, to Christians for the last 2,000 years. And Lord, I pray that very simply this morning, for all the moms, the spiritual moms, the mom figures in this room, that you would have a special message for them today and where they are in life. And God, for all of us, that you would speak to us in what it means to pursue purpose in you. Lord, may what is said today be honoring to you. May they be your words. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So when you think about this story of Martha and Mary, maybe this is one that is very familiar to you, and maybe it's a new story for you, but traditionally, historically, there's oftentimes like a good path and a not-so-good path in this story, right? Oftentimes we think about Mary being the example of what it means to be spiritual, and oftentimes Martha is the one that kind of gets like a tough place in this story. She's looked down upon because of her busyness. She's looked down upon of who she is and how she operates. But this morning, I want us to consider this passage through the lens of purpose and to really reclaim and maybe rediscover that there was something really important that Martha almost had right. There was something that Martha was so close to finding or discovering or living into, but she'd just been missing a little piece of that, and so Jesus speaks into that, and it really just reshapes not only Mary and Martha's relationship, but it also reshapes the ways in which Jesus viewed the kingdom of God. And so this morning, on this Mother's Day morning, whether you've already had your Mother's Day celebrations at 6:05 this morning or something else is coming along, I want us to consider the ways in which mothering or the mother figure or the spiritual mom figure is actually so foundational and instrumental to us as humans in understanding more of who God is. Maybe you've heard of the phrase Imago Dei. Anybody heard that phrase Imago Dei? It's a Latin phrase that means image of God. And so very simply, motherhood, or the act of motherhood, or just the identity of motherhood, is a reflection of the nature and character of God. Like specifically, mothers or motherhood or the identity of motherhood is a reflection, very intentionally, from the very beginning of Genesis all the way through Revelation of who God is and helping us understand of who God is. Take this example, just one example, Matthew 23, verse 37. This is Jesus speaking to Jerusalem, or speaking to the entire city of Jerusalem in the ways he relates to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Again, this is just one of many examples of the ways in which motherhood, the identity of motherhood, and learning and discovering what motherhood is actually helping us better understand who God is. In this relationship between Imago Dei of human beings being made in the image of God, that motherhood is something that helps us understand more of who God is. And so in this story of Mary and Martha, again, Martha is the one that kind of gets the bad rap. And of course, Martha, if we really don't know this from the text, or at least Luke's text, but a lot of this has been discovered through just looking at different gender roles and specifically the relationship between Mary and Martha in that time. Like, just look at the picture. Jesus is invited into Martha's house. Jesus is invited into a place where Martha is the one serving. Jesus is inviting into a place where Martha is the one who has hosted and prepared a space for Jesus to come into. And Mary really is just a guest in Martha's house. And so Martha, kind of picture her as like that older, wiser, responsible firstborn child, okay? Like you know the type. Maybe you are the type. Maybe you have that sibling. Maybe they're sitting right next to you and you can elbow them. But like Martha was the one that was paying the mortgage on that first century home in Israel, right? You know what I'm saying? Like she was the responsible one in this whole story. And so again, there's something that Martha missed, but I don't think we can fully just write off Martha as being the irresponsible one or the one that kind of has missed something. Like this story wouldn't happen. Like Jesus wouldn't have had a place to be invited into if it weren't for Martha's faithfulness and responsibility and hospitality to hosting Jesus. You know what I'm saying? That Martha oftentimes gets this bad rap, but there's something that's so important that Jesus says to her that she almost got, that she almost had. But then when he says it to her, it completely reshapes, again, the view and the experience of what the kingdom of God is about. And so this morning, every morning, I hope that you have a Bible. But if you don't, I invite you to actually like take out your phone because we're going to look at this passage just a few times. Don't be like checking your Instagram or like all the different cute pictures of kids on Mother's Day just for like the next 15 minutes, okay? I want you to have the text in front of you, whether it's your Bible or your phone or whatever, because I want to look at a couple specific verses in this story as it pertains to purpose and how it might speak to each of us this morning. Again, we're in Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38, so punch that in or turn to it and specifically look at verse 39 with me this morning. Beginning at verse 39. It says, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. And so traditionally, this is the point that is really important that Mary gets right. And somehow Martha is just a little bit distracted or preoccupied by that finding purpose that Mary has discovered is found not in performance, but in presence. Purpose is found in presence, not performance. And this was the thing, again, that Mary had mastered really, really well. She was not preoccupied by all the things that Martha was doing, that she knew that if she was really to discover her place in the kingdom of God, if she really was to discover who she was, that being near Jesus, being in the presence of Jesus, being in close proximity to Jesus, being at the foot of the rabbi, that is where her purpose would be found, not in the hustle and bustle of what Martha had discovered in that moment. But again, we're not side-carting Martha. We're keeping Martha central to the story because there's something that Jesus told her that she almost had, that if we miss the kingdom of God, or at least the image of what God of Jesus is giving us in the kingdom of God. Purpose is found in presence, not performance. And yet, church, you are the first to know that our culture, our society, this 21st century world that we live in has that so backwards, or has that priority so opposite, right? Even the ways that we talk about our kids and schools and job placement and promotions, that everything we are and everything we build ourselves up to be is based on performance and accolades. And the things we achieve and the things we accomplish, and whether we realize it or not or recognize it or not, like that's just the water that we swim in, that so often in our world and so often the lie that we each buy into is that purpose is found in performance and that presence with God is secondary. And so very quickly, Jesus sets the table correctly. He says, purpose is found in presence. Mary, what you are doing is good and it should not be skipped or missed. And it's so important for us to not skip over what Jesus is saying to Mary and to Martha in that moment. And really what happens in that moment is presence gives us perspective on what really matters. The presence of being in the presence of Jesus for Mary gave her perspective on what really matters. It's almost like a setting where life is going on, and maybe you just picture yourself for a moment. Life is going on kind of in this big room, and we're just living life. We're living life in interactions with people. We're going from the one thing to the next that we have, and we're just constantly like living our lives in constant fast-paced world. But if you were to like be in this room and to see your life, but for just a moment, like get up onto the balcony and then like look over your life and look over the relationships and look over the friendships and look over the opportunities and look over the neighbors that you have. Like, can you kind of go with me for a second there this morning that if you were to like get up onto the balcony and look over your life, it would give a new perspective on what really matters. And that really, that balcony view is what Jesus is offering to Mary and to Martha in that moment, that presence is what gives us perspective on what really matters. What that meant in that moment was that Mary was able to sit in the presence of the rabbi of Jesus, but it was really just Mary having that balcony view, that big picture view, that overarching view of what really mattered to her and to the kingdom of God. Again, if you have your Bible open with you in Luke chapter 10, I want you to look at verse 40 with me for a moment. Beginning at verse 40, it says, "But Martha was distracted." Why was she distracted? "But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, 'Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me.'" And so, church, this is the point. This is the thing that Martha almost had right, that Jesus spoke into and showed her, and showing her completely reframed the vision of the kingdom of God. Again, and it comes from this simple word. Why was Martha distracted? Oftentimes we answer that question, if you've been in this story, if you've heard this story, it was because Mary wasn't helping make the falafel or preparing the charcuterie board for Jesus, right? Any charcuterie board preppers out there? So good. I love the apricots, right? Like oftentimes that's what Mary is oftentimes Martha is credited or discredited because she was distracted by the preparations of food. Like that is what the text says, but there was something else that was going on that was bigger and more significant in this moment. Don't miss it, church, this morning. Look at verse 38. Check it out. It says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way." At the very beginning of this passage, it says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way." Specific emphasis on Jesus and his disciples, his 12 disciples. And if you know the 12, they were all men, and they were all younger to middle-aged men that were following this Jesus, their rabbi, of learning to be like him and to embrace the ways in which Jesus would live. But we'll miss it if we don't know the full context of the ancient Near East, and so just go with me this morning. Gender roles, or specifically genders in ancient Near East, first century Palestine, Israel, there were only two times where the two genders would be together in the same proximity. Like, genders were very intentionally separated in all capacities of life, except for two times in ancient Near East, first century Israel. The first time is when kids were, under the age of 10 or 12 or whatever, and they were just outside playing. Like, there was no problem where gender roles were mixed, kids, girls playing with boys, like, that was just very normal. And literally the only other time in life was the marriage room in the house where husband and wife would be together. Those are the only two times in ancient Near East culture where male and female, men and women, girls and boys would like be together. That's just a cultural reality that we need to pay attention to that helps us understand the whole point of this story. And so in that, where Mary is, women did not sit at the rabbi's feet. Women did not go into a room and sit at the rabbi's feet. That was the man's job. Again, this is first century, ancient Near East, Israel, Palestine. Like that space, that role was reserved for only a man. Church, do you see what Jesus did and didn't do in that moment? That space that was reserved for only disciples and only men, and all of a sudden Mary was the one that was inhabiting that space. What traditionally would happen is that that woman would be booted out of the entire village, let alone the home. But what did Jesus do? He said nothing to her. He pointed out Martha. He pointed out the one who was being the responsible firstborn, pay the mortgage on the Israeli home, woman. He pointed out the one that was functioning the way that the culture said that she was to function, and instead invited Mary to lean in more at his feet. Church, very simply, Martha wasn't distracted because of falafel or charcuterie. Martha was distracted because Mary was not acting like a first century ancient Near East woman. Amen? Do you see what's going on in this point? And so I want to get something straight. One, this is not just a commentary on gender roles in 21st century world. It doesn't translate, right? That's not what I'm saying. Even though what I am saying is that we've been part of a denomination for the last 140 years who has been wrestling with how in the world do we think about calling and giftedness and what it means to be male and what it means to be female and the roles in which each person is able to function. And very simply and very convictionally, we as a church have landed on that the calling is not based on male or female, that calling is based on spiritual giftedness. And the ways in which you function in the kingdom of God and the economy of the kingdom of God is not of who you are as male and female, but it is because of your giftedness. If you're gifted to preach, let her preach. If you're gifted to serve, let her serve. If you're gifted to be hospitable, let him be hospitable. Church, do you see what's going on and what Jesus is doing in this moment? But it's more than that. Jesus is offering a freedom that Mary nor the entire ancient Near East world had ever seen. He was flipping the priorities that one thought were true and completely re-envisioned what those looked like, flipping them upside down and creating this upside down kingdom where purpose was found in presence and not performance. Purpose is found in presence, presence with Jesus, not performance or accolades or accomplishments or charcuterie boards. And yet, how often do we miss this? How often do we miss this? Are you with me this morning in this distinction of what Jesus was doing in this moment? Are you with me this morning and how this is something that is so important, not only for us as a church, but this is good news for the world because it's a picture of what the kingdom of God is, not only now, but what the kingdom of God will be in the age to come. And from there, from that presence of being with Jesus, we find our purpose in life. I want to close with this, and so often when we think about purpose, specifically in the context of motherhood or specifically in the context of just living life, like oftentimes we can say, okay, great. Presence is where it comes. So that means I don't have to do anything. I can just hang out with Jesus. And very quickly we realized that Martha was onto something, because the economy of the house has to continue to roll, right? Martha was onto something, because if she can say, you know what, it's all good, I'll just hang out with Jesus and be at the foot of the rabbi, and then she falls behind 3 months on her mortgage payment, and then the house gets repossessed, right? Like, there's something more to what's going on in this story that Jesus is pointing out. And really, it's the thing that most poisons us when we think about purpose in life. For you and for me, whether you're a student and you're just discerning, like, where in the world am I going to college and what is the purpose that God has placed on my life? Or you're a young mom where you're just in the thick of thinking about parenting and having friendships and living life. Or maybe you're sending your kids off and you're about to be an empty nester and life is about to change a lot. And purpose is about to really shift because your parenting role is going to be more of a taking the back seat and affirming and encouraging kids instead of so hands-on. And maybe you're a spot where you're really like seeking purpose because of retirement or moving into a next season or asking that next question, like, what's next for me? Anybody in one of those stages of life where you're just wondering, like, what in the world is my purpose? No, I'm the only one. All right, cool. That's fine. Here's what Jesus was pointing out. Here's what Jesus is showing to Mary and to Martha that we must not miss. The poison to pursuing your purpose is being preoccupied. The poison to pursuing your purpose is being preoccupied. And so moms, spiritual moms, mother figures, sometimes this gets a bad rap, but like you've seen that cartoon where like the husband and the wife are driving, right? And it has like the two bubbles of what the people are thinking about. And the husband's driving, he's like, man, I hope there's a good game on this afternoon. And the laundry list of the things that's like in the mom's brain, you know what I'm talking about? Again, this isn't like a commentary on gender roles, but oftentimes, the things that are on my mind are maybe not the most important things for our home. And so thank you, moms and spiritual moms and mother figures, for being the responsible people. But oftentimes, there's this tricky tension. What are you preoccupied by? What are you preoccupied by? Again, moms, just for a moment, maybe you're worried about like, man, put the dads and the boys in charge of lunch. Like, can they come through this week? Can they come through this year, right? Very valid preoccupation. Or like, okay, we got 100 different things we got to go buy and pack lunches for the kids this week. Or is my grandson going to ever lose that attitude that he has or whatever? Like, there's plenty of things to be preoccupied by in this life. But really the key of what Jesus is showing us is that Martha was not preoccupied, again, with falafel. Martha was preoccupied by comparison. She was preoccupied by comparing what Mary and Martha were supposed to be doing. She was preoccupied by comparison, of trying to control something that she had no control over. Do you see what's going on in this story? Martha was preoccupied and trying to hold fast to control something that she had no business controlling. I'm gonna quote a male president on Mother's Day, because I think it's something that's so important for us that shapes and reshapes what's going on in this moment. Teddy Roosevelt once said, "Comparison is the thief of joy." Have you heard that statement? Have you heard that phrase before? Church, that is exactly what Jesus was leaning into 2,000 years or maybe 1,800 years before Teddy Roosevelt even said anything like that. He was saying that specifically to Martha. Martha, why are you preoccupied? Why are you worried about something that you can't control? You can't control what Mary's doing, nor should you. Don't worry about that. Worry about yourself. I don't know, I find myself saying that a lot especially in my backyard with kids right now, or on the playground, right? And then a certain somebody or something will happen, and a kid will come up to me, maybe not my kid or my own kid or whatever, but it'll be like, hey, you know, someone's doing this. And oftentimes the answer as a parent is say, you don't worry about it. All you can do is control yourself. Right? It's a lesson that we teach younger ones, if you're a teacher or a coach or a parent. It's a lesson that we teach kids time and time and time and time again. And how often is that just the same thing that just poisons our heart? It's the same thing that poisons our heart oftentimes. When we think we can change something or impact something that we have absolute no control over. Church, what I don't want us to miss is that Martha, as pointed out by Jesus, was preoccupied by controlling something she had no control over. And so very simply, mothers, spiritual moms, mother figures, but everyone in this room, what is it that you're holding so tight to in this season of life? That you're trying to control so much to impact the outcome, whether it's a relationship or a marriage or a relationship with a kid or just a priority or a job or a promotion or a neighbor. What is it that you're holding so tight to, you're trying to control, that you have no business controlling? Oftentimes we, as human beings, think that our purpose comes from just holding so tight to the things that we want the most, right? That's the narrative of our world. And yet, the narrative of the kingdom of God and the economy of the kingdom of God is to say, if you would just release those to Jesus, he's got you. Like, if just for a minute that you'll just, like, let your fingers just release those things that you're holding so tight to, that you so badly want to see change, or you so badly want to see improve in your life, or you so badly want to see improve in a relationship. Like, if you just release those to Jesus, I don't know about you, but I've been in that moment so many times where the minute I just release something and let it go and say, God, you know what? I can't. Can you? And there'd be so many testimonies in this room of moments where that happens. And so, church, that's our invitation. And thinking about all we have in front of us as a church, but specifically as you, an individual, of pursuing purpose, like, very foundationally, very fundamentally, it's owning the things that we are called to own and control. And it's releasing the things that we have no control over and allowing Jesus to be the one to carry those things that we cannot. And so, church, if you find yourself in a place like that in the season of life where you're just holding so tight to something that you have no business holding tight to, I invite you to just release it to Jesus, and to see what the Holy Spirit will do in your life. Amen? Would you join me in prayer? God, on this Mother's Day, we do just pause and reflect. First, God, I pray over all of our moms, our spiritual moms, our mother figures, who are carrying a lot in this season. Many really, really good things, but because of expectation of our world, because of expectation of our culture, God, that there's this, like, this weight or this pressure to be something or to do something that they have no business doing. And so, Lord, I pray over our moms today, God, that identity and purpose would be found in being near you and operating out of you instead of the expectations of this world. And God, that is the same prayer that I have for this church, for us as a community. Lord, show us the things that we're holding so tight to, that we have no business holding so tight to. And God, help us to release the things to you that we have no control over, that we can surrender to you knowing that you hold us. God, thank you that the hope of the gospel is found in what you have done for us and nothing that we could do for ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. We ask these things, and all God's people say, amen.